Power 904 at the party station. Power 904, power 904, power 904, power 904. Turn it up low. He knows River is in.
Unit 10.
Power at my station. Mixing. He's a 10. You a fool. 904 at the best. I owe that. 904 again. Out with the convoy, a black range. We pull up, gala act strange. Step with the force, you see the front page. Machiavelli style, gala move them waist. All them fi catch up, I will never left space. 904 have money till them can't erase. Fan a BBL, mama shake what you have. Go go time, baby, work for the bag. Oh, I'm my station. Mixing. He's a 10. You a fool. 904 at the best. I owe that. 904 again. Sharp like razor gang, the pump point. Them boy, yeah, I move undercover, oink oink. No splash with me, decorate and paint. Tool in a box, nuff hammer and nail. Grab the Sylvester, rap face turn pale. Soon as them see the kid, them start act stammer. Them say, me a done but a bit crazy. Warning, pull up with the black army. Oh, I'm my station. Mixing, he's a 10. You a fool, 904 at the best. I owe that. 904 again. Me a bad influence. Bad influence. Me a bad influence. Bad influence. Me a bad influence.
What's happening? This is Garfield from the group Shy, and I'm in the den with Nala on Power 904.
Hey, what's up? This is your girl Nala right here in the den on Power 904. Listen, some people know me as a host, a publicist, a promoter, or even the girl who pops up as a friend on your social media timeline. But at the end of the day, I am really a girl on a mission to help you grow and expand your brand just as I did mine. I never said I had all the answers, but I will go out of my way to help make your brand be exposed as big as mine. My goal isn't to be famous. My goal is to reach, build, and expand with you. Don't play with me.
What's up, you guys? This is your girl, Nala, and I'm sitting here right here in the den today on Power 904 with somebody special. They bringing the legends back into action, and I'm sitting here with Garfield from Shy. Tell the people who you is, what you do, why you doing what you do.
What's happening? I'm Garfield. I'm from the Platinum group Shy from the 90s. You know, we had hits like If I Ever Fall in Love and Comforter and Baby I'm Yours and stuff like that. I'm doing a lot of things. We're still touring heavy. We do shows almost every weekend in pretty much every city you can think of. And I've also written a book I just released yesterday. It's a fiction piece called Lotus 3013. And basically, it's just in the year 3013, hip hop is believed to be a white cultural invention with no ties to the history that it was ever black. And, you know, if there's the protagonist, the forces of good who, you know, got something to say about that, they try to write the situation. It's a lot to it. But it's a dystopian Afrofuturistic piece. And if you can go combine Harry Potter with Lord of the Rings and Beat Street, if y'all can go back that far, that's what you'll get. You'll get my book, Lotus. And so it's definitely some stuff. I can go into detail, you know, later, but that's the gist of it. So it's a real interesting piece.
And you said the title is called Lotus?
Yeah, Lotus 3013, who's the main character of the book, Lotus the Wise, Lotus the Traveler. And Lotus has a unique ability. Like, he goes through portals, and he has this real uncanny ability. He's super, super sensitive in terms of, like, understanding surroundings. And he can sum up every vibe, every space and time into a geometric shape, like the shape of the time itself. He can, like, no matter what it's doing, he is an underlying shape that it's making in terms of its sound quality. And he can manipulate that and go through different portals, manipulating the shape and really changing the geometry so that it'll have a doper outcome for a future time period. And all of that is done to like face up against the antagonist, Master Set, who has the world fooled that hip hop started from a white source, that blacks have no value contributing culturally. But the truth is, there's a whole class of black prisoners called the penal class underneath certain prisons that are basically guinea pigs. Well, Master Set has hooked up cathodes and anodes to their brain and extracts and localizes whatever that X factor is as hip hop that he can take that seems to make things more magnetic and apply that to his societal structures like architecture to make them more vibrant and more appealing to investors to come in so he can make money. But at the same time, he's putting a narrative up that blacks have no contribution. And that's why they're in the jails. And that kind of mantra allowed the CIA to fake it out and have it to where the blacks couldn't get visitation. Like, people voted in Congress for blacks to get no visitation in the prisons so they can keep them in secret. And he was sucking the basic, the X factor stuff out of them the whole time to create a doper city and a doper place so he can enrich himself. But the only proof left that can, you know, make the gig be up for him is this place called the Hall of Masters that's time shifted in the fourth dimensional brain world. And it proves that hip hop was black and Latino from the Bronx, you know, and Cedric and Cedar. It has all the master recordings and interviews and MTVs and, you know, all the different, you know, different singles and all the different stuff from the 20th and 21st century hip hop that shows that hip hop was definitely, you know, Wu-Tang, Busta Rhymes, you know, all the stuff. And so this guy, Master Set, has to get rid of that to convince the people of his narrative that hip hop is neo hip hop is all white, like it's a white cultural product that's powering these cities. And so there's going to be a clash between good and evil, Master Set and Lotus and his crew, the Netics. The Netics are these telepathic, telekinetic black hip hop soldiers. And they live an average lifespan about 300, 400 years. Wow. And they don't speak out loud. They only speak in 8, 12, 16 to 24 bar rhyme verse. Because it's been found in 2013 that rhyme increments is the most efficient way to communicate a concept and the easiest to pull back out of your brain once it's going in because of the rhyme meter. So these masters have mastered rhyme and all of the concepts, but they don't speak it out loud because Master Set, in 2013, the way to get somebody identified is different than fingerprinting and DNA. There's a more foolproof way, and it's on your vocal resonance. And so Master Set has created this device that his Cetilians, his soldiers, put on them, but they duplicate the resonance wave of a black hip hop person that identifies with hip hop, a male, and they can amplify that sound frequency a billion times on their person. Because your vocal resonance is so you, that if somebody amplifies it a billion times, whoever is looking at you with that device on will only see the person whose the original voice it belongs to. They won't see the person impersonating it because that vibration is so you. And so they're committing crimes using these people's vocal resonance and getting these black people arrested. They have no idea what done happened. They can't refute the evidence. And so they go to that penal class underneath the jail and get their brainwaves studied for the X factor, the hip hop X factor, and get it. You know, so it's a whole thing going on.
Yeah, it's not like Batman, the Matrix.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to it. I done invented inventions in there. It's like a lot of stuff to it. You know, I got these things called derivatives. You got to see, you got to look at it. I mean, listen to it. And it's like a movie because
it is.
There's a score to it. Like my twins, I have twins that are producers, dope producers, hip hop producers. And they did the music in the scenes, you know, like in the movies, not the soundtrack with the artists with singles, but the music that accentuates the scene and stuff. So when you listen to the audiobook, it feels like a movie the whole way down. Only thing it's missing is the silver screen part of it. But it sounds and feels like a score, like a movie. Every time somebody moves it, you're boom, boom. You know, it's all kind of break beats, and then you know the parts where the Netics are communicating telepathically with the rhyme meter. You know the rhymes are in there, so it's a little hip hop cadences, beat wise with that. While that's going on, and the way that they get to that fourth dimensional brain world, they do this thing called warping. So the Netics they huddle up in a cipher, and they hold hands, and then they without doing it out loud in their mind, they imagine themselves going like Om in D minor. And in that energy lattice that gets created, and when they do Om in D minor to that extreme, it creates a hole in space time that warps them to the fourth dimensional brain world. And so they have to always be careful about intruders getting in that cipher when they warping up to that. And Master Set is always looking for a way to find one of them ciphers so he can get in there and destroy the master.
That's a video game.
Yeah, it's a lot of little stuff.
I don't imagine
everything
just sitting over here.
You got to check it out, man. It's some dope stuff in there.
So what brought you to write about the dimensions of hip hop?
Well, it was like this. I was at Cal State Northridge when I had gone back to school to finish up, you know, because once Shy started, we were at Howard University. I hadn't quite finished, so I went back. And when I was there, I joined this organization called the Hip Hop Think Tank. And because it was a class called The Politics of Hip Hop that spawned it. And the Hip Hop Think Tank was a bunch of hip hop oriented scholars who would normally be writing rhymes, but that was doing research projects to present research papers. That's how I got into my master's degree programs, because we were really like hip hop had just become a sexy topic in the academic realms. People were studying Tupac and Nas, and so we fit right in and boom. But during that time, me and one of the dudes there, he was like, yo, because 50 Cent was a phenomenon at that time. This is like back in 2004, 2003, that the authenticity thing in hip hop was a big deal. Like 50 was one of the people that was the poster child for authenticity.
Right.
He got shot 9 times. He really living what he talking about. And he dope rhyme, you know, all that. That was a new paradigm. Like every MC had to be like 50. I need to go get shot 9 times, you know.
Right.
No. And so he was like, I'm going to write a whole thing about the present phenomenon, about what hip hop is right now. And I was like, yo, that's dope. I said, I'm going to write about what hip hop is going to look like in 1,000 years. Right. And that made me start thinking. I started looking at commercials and seeing that there was like McDonald's commercials. It could be Walmart. It could be Target. And they'll have hip hop elements in there, but no black people. It's like they don't even need the black people no more to validate it. It's just they got hip hop elements now. They can do it without us. I was like, yo, it's going to be a time when people are going to forget that hip hop even came from black folks.
Right.
And it's that commercial and it's making that much money. They can do all and just lose all of authenticity. And that's where Lotus kind of got born. Like, what if there was a real situation where hip hop was really totally by society believed to be white, and there was no connection to history, but the people didn't perceive it as such. They thought time was moving, but this dude, Master Set, got everybody in a hamster wheel, just trapped in a perpetual present while he orchestrates things to just totally enrich himself, you know. Anyway, so
That's deep, but it's crazy because that just shows how we're taught what we, you know, everything we think we're taught. So
yeah, for
everything
sure.
That goes through the mind. So once they keep going that direction, that's what they are going to believe.
And then, you know, people just don't realize, you know, because like if you look at yourself every day in the mirror, you won't see yourself changing. But if you take a snapshot of you when you was 8 and then look at yourself when you was 20, you totally look different, and you didn't feel it happening. It's just like, damn, look at that one. It's like, so it's subtle, it's nuanced, but it's really happening at a certain speed to where people can't perceive it in real time.
That's
and
right.
Before you know it, a certain new floor has done been created. And you're like, yo, when that happened? And it's like, dang, it was always going down. You just didn't perceive the movement. And that's how people get caught up in these certain, you know, trends where they lead the roads to nowhere. And pretty soon a whole new situation has appeared that is totally against what you want it to be. And that's one of them, I think, that's heading our way, if we don't be careful.
Pay attention. I like, and I will read it and give my review on it, because I like to.
Yeah, listen to the audio book, though. That's, you know, so you can read along with the ebook. Like, when you buy it from my site, it's GarfieldBrightOfShy.com. For $25, you get the ebook and the audio book, like in a bundle. So that way, like the text part of, you can be reading along the document while you're listening to on the player. You can be listening to me I'm narrating the whole thing, doing the different voices and all that, you know.
Oh, nice.
So you can be listening to the movie of it and then following with the words if you want to, just to make sure that if I'm too low in volume somewhere, you can see what word I'm saying, you know, something like that. But yeah, check out. It's an experience. Get some popcorn, lay back.
Yeah,
imagination.
And imagination, like you at the movies, you know, for real.
In some
head.
Parts, it's complex. Like if you read Octavia Butler's type of stuff or whatever, or The Matrix, you know, I set up certain scientific elements with, you know, like there's certain jargon. So certain parts of it might be complex because it's real futuristic. It's really based on some real stuff. And I am a scholar, so I use certain. But I always go back to a everyday scenario type of thing, too, to get to bigger, you know, but it's just elements to it that you got to like bear with. Some people might not recognize certain flows of talk or whatever, but they, you know, I'm a hell of a code switcher.
That's what's up. So let's talk about some of you went from R&B to hip hop with the book. So I'm really trying to see how your
It's not really, I didn't go from that to that. Like what it is I was born in I was raised in the golden era of hip hop. Like I'm a hip hop head who just happens to sing in R&B music. But me personally, I grew up, like, hip hop is all up and through me. I just ain't a hip hop artist out there. But
Right.
But I was born and raised off of all of the, like when I was in college at Howard, when we first got there, that was the beginning of like Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, Busta Rhymes, L.O.N.F. Leaders in the New School. You know, you got Wise Intelligent with you know, you got Brand Nubian, you know what I'm saying, Public Enemy. All these groups were like in their heyday. Common had was dropping, you know, the Like Water for Chocolate, all that. All these things, you know, the high tech movement, Mos Def and Talib, De La, all these like, you know, phenomenal groups were coming to, into their own to separate themselves, to start becoming icons. And that was the soundtrack of my life as a shorty. Like I grew up, I had the two turntables when I was 12 because I wanted to be a DJ, had my first realistic mixer. Mm-hmm. On the left, I had Jermaine Stewart with The Word Is Out. And on the right, I had UTFO with Roxanne. I'm mixing, you know, the word is go to you. Hey, what's up? Your word is out. I was going back and forth, thought I was doing something. And so, you know, hip hop was like something that we was read. I was at the movies when Beat Street came out. Like I went to go see that. Like I was a kid in Boston, was breakdancing on the street for money. Like I would pass the hat, we would jump the trains, go down to Copley or different, you know, places in there, Jamaica Plain or wherever we were. And, you know, we'd be popping and break. We had two crews passed around the hat to the tourists. They get applause to who they like the most. That's who take the money. You know what I'm saying? If we go to the subway station and the other crew want to get the money back, we read the box or whatever. But I lived that life. I was a little B-boy. Wow. Like that was, I grew up in that. I just ended up being a singer, dude. But I grew up checking out, like, if you look at big Full Force in them, you know what I'm saying? They were singing, you know, wrote for Lisa and all kind of other people. You got TJ Swan and Nobody Beats the Biz. Nobody Beats the Biz. You know, TJ Swan, you know, you got Whistle, Fairy Tale Lover. You know, I had a whole bunch of examples of people that were singing in hip hop that was dope to me because I could sing a little bit. I was like, oh, I could do that too. You know, but I had rhyme skills too. You know, I liked hip hop. I was, you know, in my circles, I was doing that kind of stuff because hip hop was my world, basketball, hip hop, that kind of thing that grew up in it. And when I got to Howard, it just reiterated. And then our theme music was ill vocals, like Rakim talking about with knowledge itself. There's nothing I can't solve. 360 degrees, I revolve. It's an actual fact. It's not an act. It's, you know, that was like our theme music, that kind of, right, of lyrics. You know what I'm saying? And we was partying into that. And like Public Enemy and all. So it was, that was, you know, but then parallel to that, the golden age of R&B got spawned too, right? When the hip hop was still busting through, when Nas and the Wu and Black Moon and all them came out too, you know, R&B was Shy and Boyz II Men and Silk and, you know, Mint Condition, all that was happening parallel to the point that when, right, you start getting conflation, when you start seeing people like D'Angelo with the straight backs looking like it could be a hip hop artist.
Right.
Or your boy, what's his name? I love his voice. From Jersey,
it's so cold.
He got straight backs too. Ill vocalist. What's that joint? He got a few joints. Start with a J.
Jackie.
Who?
You some Jackie's?
Nah, he older than him.
He older than Jackie's.
Yeah, he somebody that's dope. I can't even think of none of the new songs. He got hits though. I can't even think of it. But anyway.
Jaheim,
damn it. But so the image of hip hop, you know, since, I mean, R&B start looking like hip hop and they start fusing, not only when artists would join together on a track together, but the look of the thing start happening like that. So it was like a, you know, a conflation. But yo, I was born through hip hop. So I didn't jump from R&B to hip hop on this project. Like I'm made out of hip hop. I just happened to sing, you know. You know what I'm saying? You know, so yeah.
So can you share any ways that you have adapted to the changing of the market from when you first started out to now?
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because like in my personal stuff, like some of the songs that I'm doing, you know, we got a song out named Levitate now, which is like a lot of people like that song a lot. You can check it out on all the platforms. But like I noticed that like because I do come from kind of hip hop background, I like to put words together. Like some of my cadences that would be rhymes now in the day and age in R&B, you can use those cadences to sing them instead of just rhyming them. You can put melodies to them and help the song move, especially if they talking about something nice and you know, saying in the wordplay is dope. It makes the song move more because it's more increments, it's more of a cadence to it. And so I start to use that more in my personal shit. And that makes me sound more like, if you hear some of my own solo stuff, it sounds more updated because of that element. Even though I'm still putting harmonies in my stuff though, because a lot of people don't know how to do harmonies and they don't use them. And I mean, hearing so many songs with dope melodic structures, but it begs for some harmony right there, just a little bit, but nobody will do it. They'll just put those little ambient kind of background sounds around certain stuff. All that kind of, they don't put no real harmony. And so I put the harmonies there, but I still had the cadences and stuff. So I think that's a way to kind of like merge the two worlds, where you literally like kind of rhyming, but the melodic aspects of it makes the listener feel like you're just singing, but you really got rhyme structures in your joint. So I'm using that right now. Okay. And that's making me sound current. Yeah.
I'm feeling that. Okay, so what steps do you take to ensure adversity and inclusivity within your music? Do you take to ensure diversity and inclusivity into your music?
I don't think about that. I just create what's on my heart. If I'm feeling like that's on my heart, then I'll create that specifically, diversity, inclusivity in my music. Like, but I tend to think about different angles of love, and I try to actually, my inclusivity will be in the fact that I try to make things as universal as possible. So they're not specifically aimed at one demographic. Like, I'm something that anybody can relate to, no matter what your sexual, or none of that. Like, human things that everybody can kind of feel like, yo, I got that a little bit in my world. So, you know, inclusion through universality more than that, more than actually targeting somebody, including, just making it as broad in a relatable way as possible, things about love, angles that people didn't normally talk about but have experienced, like, oh, yeah, I did that. Like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Like, those kinds of things I try to make happen. So, but I'm not intentionally trying to, like, target us and include, but I know that as a creator, I'm trying to cast a bigger as net as possible for people to feel like they can feel me. And so that's an inclusion mechanism, I guess, you know, indirectly.
Yes, that's a big one. So how do you measure the success and evaluate the impact of your work as you grow?
Oh, well, you know, just the fact that I can still do this and sustain myself for a living, just, you know, even if I'm just covering the basics at times, that's like a high quality of life, because it's on my terms. And something that I built, be able to still get residual income for something you did 30 years ago, because we were lucky enough to write our own music. So, you know, write all of our songs. Shy songs were always produced and written by Shy. A lot of people might not realize that. We did our own stuff. Wow. And and so that sustains me. And what was the question again? How you said it?
You measure the success and evaluate the impact of your work?
Yeah. So yeah, impact is that, you know, when you look up and you see Vivo, you got 100 million views for a video, like, you know, and little youngins, when you look out in the demographic of your concerts, you see people your age that I'm 54 and all the way down to 20 something. Like, dang, yo, y'all know this song? What y'all doing here? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'll let you know a little something too. But then on top of that, it's just the fulfillment of knowing that you put some groundwork down and you're still able to eat off something that you did 30, 40 years ago. That's in anybody's land. That is a success, no matter what tier it's on. We just happen to be blessed enough to have a couple of iconic pieces in our repertoire. And people look at us fondly.
We don't got that no more.
So, yeah. But that's all success, to be able to just be able to do that and still have your health and still be able to, you know, I'm still feeling good. I don't wake up with aches and pains and stuff like that. You know, so it's like a good thing, you know, it's just a good goal of it. My success is just rooted in me being here.
That's what's up. So I have a wild card moment right here.
Go ahead.
So I pull my wild card on you. So my wild card, because I've been listening to you, and one of my questions to you was, how did you, you know, adapt to the market? So you said that you take your new music, and you've learned how to, you know, connect some of your melodies to hip hop. So my wild card for you is, give us something off of your single track.
Off of my single check?
Off your single tracks.
Oh, give me something off of my single tracks?
What something you mean? That you put together.
Shit, you know, I don't memorize these songs yet. I'll be recording like a new song every other day to get them out because I'm trying to get them placed and stuff for everything.
That's why it's a wild card.
Oh, shoot. Let's see. Let's see. It's not the time to tell. Time never stood still, never will time feel. Who finally made it last? And who got stuck? It's time passed. Too weak to flip the hourglass. It's up to time to tell. Time never stood still, never will time reveal. Who finally made it last? And who got stuck? It's time passed. Too weak to flip the hourglass. It's up to time. Yo, she had a double life. One of the raps kept it double tight. She never knew she was the trouble type. Push the benzo, bubble type. The decent crib and the job type. Gorgeous, but unfazed by the hype. Flip the script on the man at night. She played the part of mistress and the lovely wife. Sound trite, she had insatiable appetites for marrying old rich man who can't get it up at night. They slept in separate cribs. She in a tub with the other man, licking his ear, mentioning the murder for insurance plans. He in the palm of her hand, this other man, intoxicated by the way she make him young again. So blinded by the lust and greed, he agreed to do the file deed for 50-50 splits, all the sex he need. Deeper than true love and two lusts, but one bust, two slugs that leave one dead in the pool of blood, gone quicker than the eye could blink, than the mind could think. What have I done? He cried out as he slowly sinked in. She clipped his brake line. He crashed at high speed. This former prom queen most likely to succeed. Now, will she be facing a murder rap and made to flee? Omega rich, ruthless, and scot free. Some have the gift of prophecy, but time knows all and always tells eventually. So it's up to time to tell. Time never stood still, never will time reveal. Who finally made it last? And who got stuck? It's time passed. Too weak to flip the hourglass. It's up to time to tell. Time never stood still, never will time reveal. Who finally made it last? And who got stuck? It's time passed. Too weak to flip the hourglass. It's up to time.
So we guessing the name of that is called Time.
Yeah, so that's just like an example of how I, you know, one of my
joints. Okay.
When I do that's something on deeper. My own. Yeah,
that's like a, yeah. Okay.
Little storytelling. Okay. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people know a girl you would never suspect, the prom queen, but she got a whole bunch of treachery in a hustle in her game, and behind the scenes, she doing some wild work. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, 10 years, y'all do the class reunion, she make her rich. You like, how you get? Then you start looking in the newspaper clip, and she done had five husbands that mysteriously died and shit. So it was that
the Lifetime like movies.
Yeah, that was so. I like storytelling when I do rhyme or whatever. But okay. But that's an extreme version of it. A lot of times I just do like real songs, but my cadences are, like that kind of cadence, like, you know, like a hip hop kind of cadence. You know,
that's so. What's up. So can you tell or share any experience where Garfield has had to step out of his comfort zone?
My whole life has been that. I've never aspired to do anything that I've ended up doing. I've been pushed into that shit like sink or swim. And I always end up swimming. So it's like when I was at Howard, like I was in this organization in Black Neoforce. Matter of fact, the mayor of New Jersey, Raz Baraka, right now, he was the head of it, him and April Silver. And we were real radical. We were like Black Panther-esque. But we had a whole schema to everybody who was a part of the organization to go to their respective schools within Howard and run for political offices and stuff like that. So I wasn't trying to run, but they wanted me to run for vice president, liberal arts vice president. And I wasn't trying, you know, but I ran. I ended up finding out about myself that I was good at the debates, like I was killing them. And I ended up winning, you know what I'm saying? But I was the only one off my slate that won. It's like I was behind me. Then I ran for Howard University Student Body Association president. When I was in the Nation of Islam, they wanted me to run. Like, I was like, damn, me? You know what I'm saying? I got up there, acquitted myself well. It was, I think, the biggest turnout for in a while for Howard voting. I lost by 190 votes to the NAACP rep, Ivan, who was dope dude, real deserving candidate. But Shy, you know, I was just going to practices with Darnell, hanging with him and the other brothers. They were all alphas. I was watching them rehearse for this show. And two of the other dudes that were there quit right before the show. And Donnell was like, yo, G, man, we need that four-part harmony. Like, bro, I know you've been here for like 4 months listening to the joints. What's up? I was like, yo, I do know the bass. Maybe I'll jump. And that's how I jumped in the shot. I threw that. Like, I wasn't even, I didn't even plan to be a front dude in Shy. I thought I was going to be in a group, really. I could travel with them, play the background, get all the perks of just being in this group. And I end up being a front guy, like, oh, shoot, you know what I'm saying? So my whole life has been like that kind of time. If it was up to me, I'd just been standing on some wall, just watching everything go down. But I always get pushed in the heat of it. Now what you going to do moment? Like, now what you going to do?
Right.
And I end up some kind of way having it within me somehow to do it. Like, okay, I'll
that's
do this.
Amazing.
And that's been my whole life. Like, straight
that's
up.
A whole roller coaster.
Yep. Even how I got into my master's degree program and my PhD program, same kind of thing. I didn't set out to do that. I got kind of like, oh, you want to come to this? Oh, that might be cool. Okay. You know, and, you know, like, it's, you know, and I end up having the mettle to actually be there, sustain myself. So okay. I learned about myself in all these scenarios. You know, you never know what you're going to do until you get in them situations. And to my goodness, I've always been able to kind of like rise to these occasions, not knowing if I could or not, never giving thought to it, just in it. Like, all right, what you going to do? You know what I'm saying? Nothing, no preparation. Just
you learning as you go.
Yeah. All my life, that's been my whole situation.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy and amazing at the same time, because most people would think at that point.
Yeah, I think one of my faults and one of my gifts is that I allow the movement of life. I'll flow with it.
I'll go
into a new territory. So your original question, being out your comfort, I'll let myself flow into some like a territory of life that I hadn't been into yet. Like, and then okay, this is where y'all want me. Okay, why here? And then I figure, you know, okay, this is. I'll let that happen, you know, and then I'll end up with a new skill set because of some place I done drifted off to that I had no idea, you know, but here I am, you know, now I got to figure out what they do in this scenario to be, you know, so yeah, I've let that happen. So my muscle for that has been developed. And so I'm not uncomfortable in uncomfortable situations a lot of time.
Wow, that's big.
I'm just wide up. My eyes are open trying to, you know, look for the, because it's always this sweet spot in uncomfortable situations that if you can adjust your lens of how you're looking at it in that moment, it won't be uncomfortable. It's always a little way to see it, the angle. And if you could just get to that instead of letting your that part of you take over, if you just get to the, like, what is this? You know, what's up? Like, if you could do that and then find it, then you could be chill. Like, just a case in point on the base level, like roller coasters, right? You know, you get to the top of that joint.
That's what you're like.
And right
then,
that long drop.
It's gonna drop.
People, you know, the little camera that be down there waiting to catch a picture. People like, all that. I was like, yo, I'm not going out bad on these pictures. Never again. How do I keep looking ridiculous as I go down when everybody else is like.
They waiting.
And I figured out a little thing to do. I figured out this thing. And because I kept my cool. Like, when I get to the top, you inhale as deeply as you can, right? And as you're going down, you let out your breath little by little to the increments that you're going down. And you're deflating yourself like a balloon is at the pace, you know, parallel to the drop. You can't like let it out too fast, but you letting that out of you as you drop. And for some reason, that evens it like caliber. It keeps you at an even like net zero, like a level.
Right.
And you don't get that butterfly feeling when you do that. It's like, you know, so it's like a clutch when you shifting gears. You got to do something between the gas and the clutch, the even distribution. The boom. It's like doing that to yourself as you're going, and you won't feel that feeling. So that's me in a wild situation that usually people can panic in, figuring out this little, okay, how can I? Once I figure that out, I'm cool. So I'm the one on the roller coaster with a face like this.
I was just going to say, you're the one in the group when everybody panicking. You're like, y'all just chill. I got you.
Yeah, I'm just on the roller coasters at least. Somebody shooting guns. I'm in the building like, all right, whatever. but that kind of thing with me. Like, you know, I've been put in so many situations that are just like life or death type of like, you know, just bottom line moments. People probably would never believe that in the moments, it ain't nothing left to do but look at it for real. Like, what is this? What's happening? You know, if you panic, you're going to waste time getting to the solution. Now it's total solution mode when you get into the moments. Like, it ain't got no time for frivolous freaking out. It's time to fix this.
Okay, we
got to
figure out what we got to do
next. Yeah, so it ain't no time to nobody. It's like, okay, I got this. Okay, what else do I need to make this work? Like, you be in that mode instantly. Boom. And if your muscle is up for that, you just see life through that lens after a certain point. And I think I have a little bit of that in me too. You know,
Sheesh. Okay, okay. We learned a whole lot about you today. So the next question for you is, everybody's probably wondering, you know, Shy is still around, Shy is still doing tours, Shy is still growing and doing big things. What is the key thing to building relationships and keeping them as you've been growing from generation after generation?
Can you respect to keep, you know, what they said, what is the key thing between in the group or the key thing, just me, what are you saying?
With the key thing into you guys keeping the communication and growing and building great relationships, honestly.
Well, we've been really been knowing each other for a long time. Like, we ain't just all of a sudden, you know, so that in and of itself, like, our livelihoods have been intertwined for so long with each other. Like, that's like part of you and your each one of us to each other is a part of our, like, part of us. Like, you know, it's like, that's me. That's him, but that's me too. Like, you know, so it's kind of like we're a unit in that way. And we enjoy what we do. It's like, we got a good thing. You know, we like, let's preserve this. Let's keep this, you know, we having fun, getting paid to do something we love to do.
Right.
Wow, what's messing with that? You know, so we want to keep that popping. And plus the legacy and stuff of it, you know, for our posterity. That's important too. Like, you know, yo, let's represent it still at a good level so people can still have a good, favorable, you know, takeaway from when we rock on stage. You know, let's we got something, a bar to, you know, a standard by which to represent. And so all of those things drive the unity and trying to get it together. And it's just always something new, the excitement of being on the road and doing new shows. You know, new places, the energy from the crowds. You know, we all love that. And thank God we have like an If I Ever Fall in Love, because that song is so tried and tested that no matter where we go, we always can predict that the response to that is going to be a good response. So it's never any anxiety. It's never like, oh my God, are they going to like us? We know when we crank up the very first time that I you know, as soon as we crank that up, people was like, the crowd is taking over. We might as well just fall back and let them, you know what I mean? So comfort in knowing that, it's a beautiful feeling. So we get to go to these things without any apprehension or feeling nervous coming on stage. We know what we got, you know, it's confidence right there. So, and that makes it fun, more fun. Take that anxiety away. If you just go out there on the road and just have fun with each other, the camaraderie, the brotherhood. And get on stage and have fun, knowing what they're gonna love it. You know, that's just dope. That keeps you together. Yes, wins, you know what I'm saying? Wins keep you together. You win a lot, you know.
you forget about all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next question is mental health. So right here in Power 904, we support mental health really, really big. We try not to support it just once a year, which they do it only in May. This is something we try to keep going. How do you guys, or how do you personally contain your mental health as you're on the road? You got this going on, you got that going on. How do you keep yourself maintained?
Yeah, you just gotta know your boundaries. You know, being in the industry like 30 some years, we done seen all the different schemas where people get you to hurry up and wait, you know, and add that extra thing. Like, for no reason, y'all snatched me to make me be here now. It's 2 more hours, I ain't even have to. You know, like, all these little scenarios, we can kind of, we know them now, so we can mitigate them with a certain way of looking at them or responding to them. We just ain't going to come until a couple of little bits before we got to be there. Just non-negotiable. You know, I ain't trying to go through the rat race you're trying to put me through. I already know what that is. You know, just so experience has kind of given us some tools in that regard, just industry-related stuff. And the seasoning in terms of, you know, what to expect. You know, a lot of people think, you know, things traditionally go a good way, and the exception is that it messes up. Well, in the industry, it's kind of like the opposite. Things usually don't go according to plan, and every once in a while, they do. So instead of, you got to recalibrate your mind to not expect it necessarily to be perfect. So when it is not, you ain't all flustered. You kind of like, know, like, well, this is the industry shit. Like, it goes like that. But when it gets, and then when it's good, you pleasantly surprised. Like, as opposed to expecting to be so dope every time and keep getting disappointed. Keep getting in that mental state and that messed up vibe that you got to carry because they messed up something. And you know, you kind of like knew they would, you know, and you already had the remedy because you knew they was going to do that. Try this. And then you just keep it moving. You ain't got to even dwell. And so little things like that help you mitigate the, you know, the experience factor, giving you more wisdom on what to look for and stuff like that. You know, just period, just carrying that over into your life where you know how to have non-negotiables, like, for your own self. you know, people might want to do an interview with me on a Monday or something. And I know I just got back in town on that Sunday from doing two shows that weekend. Man, I'm sleeping Monday. I'm lounging. I ain't going to do nothing. I'm grilling and pooed all day. Like, I ain't tripping on none of that. And then right. I'm refreshed the next day, Tuesday, and I'm ready to smile and people. Like, and I know that about myself. I can regulate that. You know what I mean?
Right. So,
but, you know, it's what it is. Now, you know, there's still moments in real life you get stressed. I mean, you can't avoid that. But you could kind of know what is, as long as you know what's driving it, you can kind of snap out of it every once in a while because you know where it's coming from. And you can tell yourself, man, you need to chill the hell out. You already know that this is going to be what it, come on, don't let this get you. You know, you already know that. They just suck that up for a minute and you'll be out, you know, those kinds
of things. Recognize what you're fighting.
Yeah, because I talk to myself a lot anyway. So I feel like that helps me kind of work through things, you know, but as I process. I'm out loud acting it out to myself. You might think I'm crazy if you walk past my window. You know what I'm saying?
Like, who are you talking to?
I'll be in mid-conversation with it. Like, boom. Are you kidding me right now, America?
Oh, my God. That is crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, would think something's going on.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt about it. All day. But I don't care, though. That's the other part. I don't care.
You just wave at them and keep going. Like, hey,
I'll give it to you. What up? Get back to my imaginary, you know, session with myself.
Okay. So how do you promote a healthy work relationship or environment around yourself as you're going throughout your day?
Well, shoot, I'm usually solo dolo all day long recording. So my healthy work relationship is with me and my two dogs that usually I put them up when I'm getting ready. Like when I finish talking to you, I'm going to go get my mic. You know, I got a song I got to finish. So I'm going to do the verses. And I'm just going to get lost in time doing that. That's my healthy, you know, then wifey finally come home and then I see a face, you know what I'm saying? But most days it's like I'm a homebody. I don't really go too many places unless I'm running an errand or something, going to the cleaners, going to Kroger or something. But I don't really hang out at nighttime. In the daytime, if I got to get something for Shy, maybe a couple of sneakers for a couple of the members, you know, I stop by this little cheesecake factory, have a little Stella or something like that. You know, just to be out and looking around, people watching that moment, and then taking my butt back home and start recording. So, like, that's my world. That's my day.
Wow.
When I'm on the road, then, you know, healthy working environment, it's just the brothers in our brotherhood, you know, making sure we be good. We got each other back. You know, it's just, you know, it's different than like an office, maybe 9 to 5, where it's kind of certain types right. of things. But, you know, we give each other our space boundaries, but we do so much together activity wise, you know. It's kind of like, you know, like a unit, you know, so it's healthy as long as we everybody, you know, ain't nobody tripping with each other for no odd reason, which doesn't happen. So we pretty tight. It's a good look.
Okay. So we ain't gonna hold you too much longer, but my last question for you today is, if you could leave us with three things, if you could leave the young generation with three things today, what would it be and why would you tell them that?
Oh, yeah, it's always built in with the why. Well, I would just say always be unapologetically you in all spaces.
Oh, that's deep.
The days of code switching, you don't have to just be you in all spaces. And that's the best way. But represent yourself with a high standard to yourself. You know, don't compete with these spaces that try to fit a square peg into a circle. Just be you. And if you got it, you got it. And if you ain't trying to be a part of that, don't. And have a vision, you know what I'm saying? Like, have a vision to aspire to down the road, you know, just a little reference check along the way, you know, that you can kind of refer to, see if you're on your goal or not. Like, have a goal, something to look forward to. Don't float through life on that day to day. Just get into that next one and then what comes, you know. Do that too if you have to, but be looking at the bigger picture so you'll recognize when some kind of opportunities coming that can fit that picture. Like, oh, hold up, this might be the one where I can get this off right. so I can get to that. Always have, I'm trying to get to that move, you know, a pivot. And, it ain't the bag that makes you, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's like your stand, your principles is how you relate to somebody when they in that effed up position, you know, what kind of compassion, what kind of empathy you have towards the next, you know what I'm saying? They are a reflection of you. So don't be so bag centric. We all need to survive and pay our light bills and do all that.
Right.
With the bag, a chump your whole moral fabric. You'll just be a bag man, bag lady, without having any substance inside that piece, except for a whole bunch of white dead presidents. And that ain't looking nothing like you. So you don't even know who you are. You just a bag. So find who you are with that and use a bag to support that movement, that trajectory towards something greater than the bag. You know what I mean? Don't let nobody put you in the bag, basically.
That's deep. All right, you guys, you heard it here first right here in the Den on Power 904. Make sure you guys go check out Garfield's book called Lotus, right?
Lotus 3013,
and we can find that on Amazon.
Nope, you got to go to garfieldbrightofshy.com, my website, and you can buy it straight from there. I didn't, you know, Amazon is like a middleman. You know, I'm in the industry where middlemen are bad.
Straight from the bottom.
Yeah,
so we're going straight to the website.
I don't like to deal with middlemen. Like, you go straight to me, straight to you. You know. Maybe after a while, later on down the line, I might let a middleman come in and do something with Amazon. But right now, I'm going straight to the customer, consumer, the person that's interested in reading. And you can get it from there. $25 to get you the audio book, which I advise you to check out because it's a fun audio book. And the ebook, you know, the PDF, where you can read along if you want to. But you don't have to. You can just open up the audio book and kick back with the earphones and just listen to me narrate and hear all the sound effects and all that good stuff. So, you know, just check it out. It's worth a little dub five.
All right, you guys, you heard it here first right here in the Den on Power 904. Stay tuned. Thank you for that.
Thank you, love. Appreciate you. What'd you say?
I said that was a lot of... Hey everybody, it's your girl Nala right here from Nala's Den, and you're riding out to the 10-Minute Indie Spotlight Show right here on Power 904. Don't play with me.
Turn it in and get your cookie dough. Turn it in and get your cookie dough. Again. Bend it over, drop it low. Pick it up real slow. Gone and poke it out. Start to shake it now. Shake your money maker. You know what I'm talking about. Got them standing around. Pockets on tsunami. Throwing money up every time you go to drop it. She so bad. How you know? She always the toppy. And I love the way she move. That's why I always watch it. Little booty, big booty. We like all booties. Little booty, big booty. We like all booties. I wanna see you. Waddle booty, big booty, I like all booties. Waddle booty, the big booties, we like all booties. I wanna see you. I like the way she bobbin' it, pick it up and bobbin' it. I like the way she bobbin' it, pick it up and bobbin' it. I wanna see you. I like the way she bobbin' it, pick it up and bobbin' it. Like the way she bobbin' it, pick it up and bobbin' it. She no dancer, she like twerking. Hit the club after work with her friends. All baddies, will they dance? Do it gladly. They got money, they buy their own bottles. Whole clique mad, they like supermodels. Keep it classy, can't get nasty. Hit the floor, started spazzing. Why the booty, big booty, we like all booties. Why the booty, big booty, we like all booties. I wanna see you. Why the booty, big booty, I like all booties. Why the booty, the big booties, we like all booties. I wanna see you. I like the way she wobble.
When
you gon' stop by for love? Cause he's been waiting for you.
He's been waiting for
you. When you gon' stop by for love? Cause he's been waiting for you.
No matter the day.
No matter if it's day or night, it ain't hard to get a hold of me, baby. Baby, anytime is a good time. Tossing and turning and I can't get you out of my mind.
Thinking about me like I'm thinking about you.
And if the mood is right, baby, you can slide through.
There ain't nothing to be afraid of.
Baby, we both been lonely enough. Spark up a blunt and pour a drink up.
Off your mind.
I just be you and I spending quality time.
All you gotta do is stop by, my love will be waiting, be much appreciated. Yeah,
when you gonna stop by for love? Cause it's been waiting for you. Cherry blossom perfume so sweet,
sweet.
I'm an open book, get to know me. Is if you wanna show me, no sweat, baby, I'm open.
Yeah.
Soft kiss on your shoulder, baby. When I look into your eyes, I see the stars.
You are currently in the den.
I'm not the same, they not changing. I know it. How I go from drowning deep to making waves in the how I go from deep to making waves in the ocean. How I go from drowning deep to making
waves in the ocean.
Yeah, got to change your boy like Stephon from Steve Urkel. Got to change your boy like Stephon from Steve Urkel. Yeah, got to change your boy like Stephon from Steve Urkel. Got to change your boy like Stephon from Steve Urkel. It was a white boy with a gold grill from the south side on Battle Creek. Cool dude, and Mr. Test, and he do it for the 15. Somewhere between the deuce and the light at the next street. I thought about how good God been and how far he done brought me. So I'm riding around and I'm getting it. Bank account for 2 visits. Lights on and we eating. Good health and I blinking. That's when I start thinking. About the time when I blew it. Chose wrong and I knew it. That's when it got time. Seen things change, cause I changed things. Talked to God and got the formula. Half the struggle I was really in was called no idea what I'm doing. Took a lot of prayer for determination. Humble pie for the extra flavor. Took a bunch of L's, never let it break. Thought my own lane, never started break. Got a Hemi engine, catch a head in me. Got it sounding like a thousand bumblebees. Run off oatmeal and the belly made his little Chick-fil-A and it got in me. Wait a minute, it's a Jesus in it. It's a change, AJ. How you transform? Got the resume, I been prime vibe like a transform. I'm not the same, they not changing. I know how I go from grinding deep to making waves in the ocean. How I go from grinding deep to making waves in the ocean. How I go from grinding deep to making
waves in the ocean.
Got to change your boy like Stephon from Steve Urkel. Got to change your boy like Stephon. Change your boy like Stephon from Steve Hurt. Okay, now boy, I'm feeling splendid. Need me some suspenders. Piped up, 3 stripes up, and these pants drop, I'm gon' split them. I'm the same T, but a new me, version 2 if you ain't get it. The old me like the views, the butt in the back. But now HD in my pitch. See, I realize that the real eyes can't be seen without real eyes. Time out. Real ties to some real guys, got a real clear in my real mind. Time out. Real life with a real guy, but the real part, it's real hard. Time out. Real fast, if this got up, then ain't nothing can hold me back. I don't understand my sauce, catch up and must be pleased. The way that I be getting blessed, you think I had a disease. Just be coming out of me. I guess my face gotta leak. Call it that, I chew a bit. Now what you do for a sneak?
Listen. Right, maybe it's too wavy and the surfing ain't your vibe. Maybe you do some black because tanning ain't your life. Don't mess with my feng shui, I just got it feeling right. My life work is life work. Keep the shade in me.
sunshine.
I'm not the same, they done changed, and I know it. How I go from drowning deep to making waves in the ocean. Yeah, gotta change a boy like Stephon from Steve Urkel. Gotta change a boy like Stephon from Steve Urkel. Gotta change a boy like Stephon from Steve Urkel. Gotta change a boy like Stephon from Steve Urkel. Gotta change a boy like Stephon from Steve Urkel.
Now that's dope. And you're riding out to the 10-Minute Indie Spotlight Show right here on Power 904. Don't play with me.